John Batchelor. John Bolton is here, former ambassador to the United Nations, former national security advisor, and author of the book, The Room Where It Happened, A New Forward. And in the forward, John has a fun game. We all have George Orwell in us. So John enters into the twilight zone of what if a second Trump term? And that would mean that in some fashion, Mr. Trump represented the Republican Party, which for at least since the advent of the Cold War has been identified with conservative policies. What is Trumpism, John? Do you have a definition after working for the president?
Well, I don't think there is a definition because Trump doesn't really have a philosophy, nor does he pursue policy in the common sense of that word that most of us understand. What he does is make ad hoc, anecdotal decisions based on his impression of something at a given time during the day. His decisions, I call them in the book an archipelago of dots. They're just not connected by a theme or a direction. You can try and find themes and directions, but Donald Trump wouldn't recognize them. And I think that's a piece of evidence, a compelling piece of evidence, why he's not fit to be president, especially in national security matters, where resoluteness and determination by the president and the United States are critical to our security.
The civil service, is that what Mr. Trump and his supporters mean by the deep state? The people who work not as political appointees, but as, well, the fruits of their labor.
Right, exactly. They have the term deep state is intended to mirror a concept that was first used in authoritarian societies where there is a deep state, the security services, the military, the law enforcement, joined together to help prop the authoritarian regime in power. The idea that such a deep state exists in the United States really is an exercise in fantasy. But that's not to say that there aren't bureaucratic cultures in each department. There are. They differ from department to department. We know of their existence from our own experience, from public choice economic theory, which teaches us that bureaucracies acquire cultures. But the idea that there's this vast conspiracy, mostly aimed at Donald Trump, you would say is paranoid if it just weren't so ridiculous and really should be the subject of comedy and satire if the potential next president of the United States didn't believe it himself.
We're looking at a second term. Let's use domestic as the first road sign. What about entitlements, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid? Will that be addressed by the second term? He doesn't have to run again. He's free to do what he wants. Will he take on entitlement?
I don't think he will. He said so far in the campaign he won't do it. And this is an example of why Trump is not really a conservative, no matter what people say. Conservatives should believe in husbanding the nation's resources, avoiding massive federal deficits, reducing the national debt, keeping as much of the country's resources in the hands of the private sector, not taxing it, not taking it away from them to spend on programs that the government officials want, but by reducing the size and the scope and the influence of government. Donald Trump couldn't care less about that. And he also doesn't care because he won't be spending his money. He'll be spending other people's money.
Foreign policy, something that you've managed your whole career, John, foreign policy. Right now, Gideon Rockman, the foreign affairs columnist for the Financial Times, you know him very well, has a column up saying, in the effect, that Mr. Trump is doing Mr. Biden's bidding, Mr. Putin's bidding, and he's doing it because why? We don't know why. Why is it that Donald Trump is saying right now that he's leaving Ukraine, he's abandoning Ukraine? Do you have an explanation for that, John? What has Ukraine ever done to Donald Trump?
Well, he believes, and I talk about this in the book and its new paperback edition, he believes that in 2016, shadowy officials in Ukraine were hiding Hillary Clinton's server and were determined to defeat him in the November election. Now, there's no evidence of that, but he believes it. And everybody recalls his 2019 perfect conversation with Volodymyr Zelensky that led to Trump's first impeachment. He doesn't like Zelensky, doesn't like Ukraine. He thinks they're against him. And I worry very much that apart from getting out of NATO, which is a whole separate subject, that Trump, if he followed through on what he said in the campaign to bring Zelensky and Putin into a room together where he said he could solve the crisis in 24 hours, that will fail. We know that Donald Trump wouldn't be the cause of the failure because he never fails. So Trump has to blame it on somebody. I think given his affinity for Vladimir Putin, I'd bet a substantial amount of money he would pin the blame on Zelensky, and it would be seriously now, it would be very bad news for Ukraine.
We'll move to East Asia. The candidate Trump has said within these last days that he will impose a 60% tariff on China. It's difficult to imagine that happening, but I'm trying. I'm going along with the game here. What would that do to our conduct in the Pacific, or what would that do to the global economy in your measure, John?
Well, I think Trump is very negative on China on some days of the week because he blames them for COVID. He thinks, not without some justification, he would have won in 2020. Of course, he did win, but it wouldn't have been stolen from him. He would have won outright had it not been for the COVID pandemic, which did, in fact, emanate from China. But I will make this prediction. If you look back at what Trump said during his first term, where he talked endlessly about achieving the biggest trade deal in history with China, it will only take a phone call from China's ruler Xi Jinping the day after our election for him to say, "Congratulations, Donald. I look forward at the earliest moment to us getting together and have a lengthy session on our economic issues. You and I can solve them together." Trump would beam, and we'd be off chasing again the greatest trade deal in history.
Now, the detail that's in your foreword that I find the most intimidating, a staff of yes people, is that what we can imagine?
Well, Trump has criticized so many of the people he appointed to senior positions in his administration that it's a kind of a cottage industry to figure out why different cabinet officers and other senior officials actually left the government. And I think if there's a theme that ties them all together, it's that they gave Trump their honest opinions, and where they disagreed, Trump took umbrage at it. I think he doesn't want people who have any opinion other than say yes, sir, to him as quickly as they can carry out his orders. And I think loyalty will be the principal test, will be the only test for political appointees. And that will start with the selection of a vice president. One thing Trump does not want is somebody like Mike Pence, who stood up to him on a number of issues during the 4 years, but particularly on January the 6th, and refused to do Trump's bidding. Trump this time will want a vice president who says, yes, sir, and then ask what he's supposed to do.
The book is The Room Where It Happened. It was a bestseller. It's now in paperback with a new foreword, and John Bolton doing us the favor of imagining a second term for former President Donald Trump. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Patrick.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.